Amen, amen. So bow your head just for a quick second. Thank you, Lord, once again. Here we are on another Sunday morning. It's hard to believe it's the first Sunday in April. Happy New Year. But thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to be here to see another day to fellowship on this Sunday. So we ask that you would speak to us through your word. Lord, allow the word to jump off the pages and jump into our hearts. Open our minds so we can understand the scriptures. We can draw close to you through your word. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Lead, guiding, and directing us. Holy Spirit, continue to lead this service. Thank you for the power of fellowship. Thank you for a loving church family, Lord. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. So we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying, broken world. Lord, we need your word today more than ever. Speak to us now, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 7 and verse 1. You all know that I, for the past few months, several months, on the first Sunday, I just do one message as opposed to try and do a communion message and then a regular message for the last, I think, 6 or 7 months. I've just been doing one communion message. So we'll continue with that today as well. So Luke 7. But I do have to put out a disclaimer that I will be all over the place this morning. Amen. All right, Natalie, thank you. I will be all over the place this morning. As per usual, put on my glasses so I can see exactly where I'm going. And so just for those of you that are taking notes and for our guests, I say this every Sunday. family, make sure that we're reading our Proverbs. We're reading Proverbs daily. Today is the third. I challenge you all to read Proverbs chapter 3, the entire chapter. What an incredible chapter it is. One of the most profound chapters in all of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 3. Our goal is to have the Proverbs replace the horoscope. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your paths. What else do you need to know? Amen. We don't look to the stars. We look to the one who created the stars. God, direct my path. In Proverbs 3 and 1, it says, forget not my law. Don't forget my word, but let your heart keep it. It says, for length of days and long life and peace shall God's word give unto you. What more do you need? You got length of, it almost seems like length of days and long life would be the same thing, but they're different. You get to enjoy and maximize every day and have a long life. And with all that, you have peace to go with it. That's what the word says. I challenge you, get into that word every day, family. So you're doing your praying and fasting time in the morning. And then we lead up to today. We have Communion Sunday. We're make a note that God has left evidence. God's left clues throughout creation of his existence. And then he's also told us from the beginning. That's why we have the Sabbath day. The Jews did the Passover. Now we do communion. Why do we do it? Because God said so. Why? Because God exists. You won't be able to deny that you didn't know him. You didn't think God existed. Why didn't you know? How do you think the sun came up every morning and went down? I mean, it's just basic stuff. So here we are as we lead up to today's message. We're in Luke 7 and 1. Says, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, all the people had heard what Jesus has to say. He entered into Capernaum. So Jesus is speaking. He just finished talking. And so now he's going into Capernaum. So I just backtrack just a little bit to see what was Jesus talking about before he got into healing the centurion's, his servant's son. I mean, his servant. So I just turn back to Luke 6 and 46. See what Jesus was talking about. He's talking about the two foundations. So as we take communion, if we're remembering what Christ did for us, let's make sure that we are on the right foundation and we're not just taking, breaking bread and drinking the juice, which represents his body, his blood. But he starts off by in verse 46. He said, "Why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I tell you to do?" We could go home right now, couldn't we? So first question, who is really the Lord of your life? You got to think about that. Jesus said, "Why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things which I say?" All right. So verse 47, "Whosoever come to me and hear my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." So write down that you must come, you must hear, and you must do. It's not just enough to know and believe. Number one, we got to come to Jesus. We have to hear what he's saying through his word, and then we have to do it. That's how you can determine who is really the Lord of your life. Where do you go? What are you listening to? And what are you doing? Just think about that. That'll tell you who the Lord of your life is. The places you frequent, the things you allow yourself to listen to, and then the things that you do. And Jesus said, "Well, you're calling me Lord, but you don't do anything I tell you to do." Verse 48, "He is like a man which built a house and he dig deep." Underline, you got to dig deep to connect with God. We can't just be surface Christians. We have to dig deep. You have to dig deep to connect with God. That's why we have to get up and pray and get into the word and worship daily, minister to God daily. You got to dig deep. You can't just stay on the surface with God. And he laid a foundation. We all are laying a foundation. What is our foundation this morning? What are we standing on? What are we building our lives on? That's between you and God, because nobody can lay your foundation but you. That's very personal. That's between you and God. Your spouse can't lay it for you. Your kids can't lay it for you. Kids, your parents can't lay that foundation for you. Grandma can't lay it for you. Can't get in on the coattails of somebody else. You have to lay your own foundation. And you got to dig deep. Each and every one of us, we have to dig deep and lay the foundation. So question two, what is our foundation? And there are good things, but your foundation must be a God thing. Your marriage can't be your foundation. It's a great thing to be married, but that can't be your foundation. Your business can't be your foundation. Your children, your job, your education, your church can't even be your foundation. Jesus Christ has to be your foundation. Your good looks, your singleness, all are sinking sand. Sorry to disappoint you, Ivy. Your good looks, being single, all are sinking sand without the Lord. It takes more than that. Why? You say, why that? Pastor says, you have to dig deep and lay the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. We know that rock to be Jesus Christ. See, it can't be those other things, because, yeah, your marriage is going to take a beating. Your business might take a beating. Your singleness is going to take a beating. The storms are going to come against your children, your family, your job, your education. It's all going to take a beating. It says it right here. And if that's your foundation, it's not going to last. All those things are good and they're great, but Jesus Christ has to be the foundation. So when those things are taking a beating, you can still stand. Somebody say amen. Somebody who's been there and done that, say amen. Amen. So you won't lose your mind because your rock was not your business. Because your rock was not the church. Jesus Christ was the rock that you laid your foundation on. Verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation. Wow. You do not want to be the person without a foundation. And you can be. So you have to do more than just hear. Number one, he said you have to come, you have to hear, and you have to do. Right here he says, if you hear and doeth not, you're like a man without a foundation. Amen. Built a house upon the earth. So you build everything that you have, you build it upon the earth. Or just the sand. One translation says sand. I'll even do a comparison and say you built your foundation in the earth. Let's call it the world. You cannot build your foundation on the world or this culture, which changes daily. As a man or woman, you cannot successfully navigate through life without a foundation. I ask you again, what are you and I, what are we really building our foundation? What are we really building our life on? It says right here in the scripture, you're just building a house of cards. If your foundation isn't Jesus Christ, you're building everything on a house of cards. Any youth in here this morning, or the youth working? Okay, the youth are working with the nursery. Nice try, John. But for those of us that are not so youthful anymore, you can't build your house on a house of cards. We can't. We can't build this ministry on anything else but Jesus Christ. Men, you can't build your life on anything else than Jesus Christ. Seasoned saints, couples, you can't build your marriage on anything but Jesus Christ. Singles, you can't build your life on anything but Jesus Christ. You see it's been done. You can build it on the earth. You can build it on the sand. You can build it on the world. But look, it says against which the stream did bear vehemently, the same thing, whether you built on Christ or whether you built on the sinking sand, the same thing is going to happen. It says against which the streams did beat vehemently and immediately it fell. I would say in these uncertain last days, you and I, we would know immediately what we're made of. Things are so crazy these days, you're going to find out immediately what you really made of. You get married, you stay married, you're married, you will find out immediately. You single and you out here and you still going to clubs and you're going to find out immediately what you're made of, what your foundation is. There's just no way around it. Times are just too ridiculously crazy. Those of us who've been around a while, I don't know if I've ever seen days like this. I haven't. And so what is my foundation supposed to be? The election with Hillary and Cruz and Trump and Bernie Sanders, and they gonna make everything all right. What are we really building our foundation on? There are people with great wealth and worldly possessions that are dying and going to hell daily. Matter of fact, turn to Luke 12. Let's take a look at Luke 12. Luke 12, and let's start at verse 13. Luke 12 and 13. And one of the crowd said, if you're there, say amen. If you're not, say hold up. And one of the company said unto him, one in the crowd said, Master, teacher, speak to me, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said unto him, man, you better get out of my face with that. That's pretty much what he said. I'm sorry. He said, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said unto them, take heed, men, put a star by this, because this is totally counterculture. This is what God says. This is what Jesus, we're still talking about foundation here. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of greediness, for man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. There's nothing wrong with having those things, but when your life, you think your whole life is based upon what you have, you're greedy and your foundation is sinking sand. Man, because this goes against everything we were taught growing up. We had to be the man. We had to have something. Look at what I got. Look who I am. Memorize this, man. Let me read it again. Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, being greedy. And man, you know, we've sacrificed relationships, families, kids, trying to get stuff. And God said, what are you doing? For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possessed. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, here come Jesus with another story. Man, why'd you even say anything to him, man? Jesus always telling stories. Oh, here we go again. You know how the parents used to tell us, oh, man. Hey, Dad, can I have $5 to go? Hey, son, let me tell you, can I just get $5? I got to hear how you grew up in the snow and had to walk and cut grass. And oh, man, I'm trying to hear all that. Yeah, are you or aren't you? No. But listen to the story anyway. And he spake a parable saying unto them, the ground of a certain rich man, underline certain rich man. Certain always lets you know that there is a choice. It's not everybody. It's not all rich people. Last time we read about the beggar, the certain beggar, Lazarus, and the certain rich man. Certain. Not all beggars, not all rich men. But this particular man brought forth plenty. So his ground is a society that's built on agriculture. His ground brought forth plenty. For us, it could be our business brought forth plenty. Our 401 brought forth plenty. Our inventions, our ministry, our church grew and brought forth plenty. Could be anything that just blows up. And there you are. You get to verse 17. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow. Oh, I got so much stuff, dude, I ain't even got room for it. And he said, verse 18, this will I do. I'm going to tear down my barns and build greater. And there I will. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to myself, man, you've made it. Finally arrived. Man, Manny, I finally got there. Everybody's going to see me and know that I got it going on. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let everybody, man, and I'm going to just kick back and say, man, look, for many years, I'm going to just relax. I'm going to do my thing. And my business is doing really well. Man, I'm so glad I saved all that in my 401k. Dude, I'm going to just kick back. I did all this. It's my business. Man, my church is doing so well. Shoot, I'm going to kick back. Just show up on Sunday, say whatever, and just ask for another raise. I did this. Yeah. Oh, man, this is so good. Look at what I've done. Verse 19, I will say unto my soul, soul, you got a lot of stuff laid up for many years. You finally made it. Man, just eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20, but God. I told y'all last week. Sorry, mama. Watch out for the butts. I told you. They get you every time. But God said to him, man, you are a fool. See, we're talking about a foundation. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. But if stuff has you and you think it's all about you, then you've missed the point. You're building that foundation on sinking sand. God said, man, you are really foolish. Ladies and gentlemen, we would be really foolish to walk out of here and think that we actually control anything. He said, this night, your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which you have provided? Also goes, this goes along with, I believe it's Ecclesiastes chapter 2. For Solomon gets depressed and hated life because he has so much stuff. And he started thinking about, wait, when I pass away, who's going to, you mean I work for all this, now I'm going to pass away and what if a fool gets it and just spends it? Amen. How many of you have kids? How many of you ever seen a kid? When we're gone, we don't know what our kids are going to do with the stuff that we done stressed out and worked so hard for. Got health issues and sacrificed our life. And then we, you know, my thing is, you know, then my daughter, she could hook up with some loser and he's spending the stuff I done stressed out and died behind. That's what I work for. But I hook up with some loser. Now the stuff I thought was so important. It's not my foundation. Don't let it be your foundation, family. I can't let it be. Verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. See the difference? You can be rich towards God and still have a bunch of stuff and the stuff doesn't have you. So there is a difference on God's way of doing things and the culture's way of doing things. All right, let's get back to the message. Let's go back to Luke 7. We're talking foundation. Rich towards God should be our foundation. Jesus Christ should be our foundation. We get ready to take communion and think about what he's done, his redemptive work. It's worth selling our lives out to Jesus Christ. Nobody else split time in half. No one else resurrected on that third day. Jesus claimed to be God and he proved it. It's just amazing how he operated when he was here. Luke 7. And let's look at verse 2. We already read verse 1. Now we're at verse 2. And a certain centurion servant, underline certain centurion. Here it's always certain people. It's always about the person. It's a choice, what we choose to do. You can't say all people are like this or all people. It's not. It's certain ones. You just have to make sure you're the one that's going after God. So here is this leader, this military leader. Here is this official whose servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. Verse 3, and when he heard of Jesus, somebody say amen. Underline that. When he heard what Jesus can do, when he believed what Jesus could do, when he found out about Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, begging him that he would come and heal his servant. When was the last time you begged Jesus on behalf of somebody else? And not just in your family, but get outside your family and think about your coworkers. Think about those at the gym. Think about the clerk at the grocery store. And you're begging Jesus to touch their heart. When was the last time you got outside of yourself and begged on behalf of somebody else? Verse 4, and when they came to Jesus, they besought him, or they really implored him, or they asked him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. So they came and spoke up on the centurion, talking about how great of a guy he was and how great of a person he was. And Jesus, if anybody deserves this, he does. It's pretty powerful. He sent them and they went and said some really kind things about him. Number one, because they were true. And this is one instance when what people say about you does matter. Most of the time, I don't care what people, but actually there is a time when you should be concerned about what people are saying about you. Because this is talking about character and integrity. What type of person are you? What do people say about you? What do your kids say about you? What do your spouse say about you? What do your co-workers and your employees, what do they say about you? It's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. In this instance, it is. When they're talking about your character and integrity, it does matter what people are saying about you. And in verse 5, he gives the evidence. For he loved our nation, and he had built a synagogue. He built the church. So he wasn't greedy like the other gentleman. He was generous. And here's the evidence. Do you have any evidence that you're actually living for God? Is my mic on this morning?
It's on.
It's on? You sure? Is there any evidence that you're actually living for God and you're actually serving God where somebody could speak up on your character and integrity? Is there any evidence? Amen. I hope so. I hope if you would talk to my wife and say, hey, what's really going on with Pastor? I hope she would say something nice and kind and some integrity. I hope she wouldn't tell everything. It does matter. If you would ask my mom what type of kid I was growing up, she's laughing. Okay, that's it. We're going to leave that one alone. Don't ask her, okay? We're going to leave that one alone. But it does matter. And to have people speak up on your behalf. But then let's make sure we're actually living this thing. They went and put their reputation on the line speaking to God on behalf of somebody who they believe was actually living this thing. Would I put my reputation on the line? Would you put your reputation on the line for someone else who you believe to be living this thing? Amen. Then Jesus went with them, verse 6, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, don't even trouble yourself. I'm not worthy that you should enter unto my roof. He's saying, look, compared to God, remember, God is our standard. The holiness of God is our standard, not other people. When he looked at himself and he looked at God, he said, look, you know, you're God. I'm just a man. I know they said some nice things about me, but trust me, God, I'm not on your level. Don't even come to my house. As what did John Baptist say? One is coming. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. I'm not even, Jesus, I can't even tie your shoes. I like this gentleman. He was sincere. He was real with himself. He was real with the situation. He was transparent. He was honest. He didn't try and say, well, yeah, you should come because I'm this and that. He said, no, hold up, God. I understand how this thing works. compared to you, God, I'm not comparing myself to other men. I'm not going to do that. My standard is God. Compared to you, I don't cut it. Don't even come to my house. Family, let's always stay humble. Let's always stay humble. Let's always realize that God is the standard. I don't care what anybody else is doing. That's not my standard. God is my standard. When I compare myself to God, I can't do anything but stay humble. So we get ready to take communion. We can't do anything. That says it all. His body was broken. His blood was shed so that we could be free, so that I could be free, so that you could be free. The Bible talks about our works are like whatever we would try and work to impress God, it would still come out like this guy knew. His works would be nothing but filthy rags. Hey, God, here's my best. What is that? Apart from God, we can do nothing. Verse 7, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy. He said, look, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. Verse 7, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto you. God, I can't even get into your presence. And the people spoke up on this guy. And see, this is revealing his heart. This is not a show. This is actually who he was. That's why they were able to speak up on him. This is his servant who's getting ready to die. Not his kid, not his spouse. We've seen Jesus heal friends and kids. But right here, this is somebody who works for him. And he's such a good employee, good boss, good friend that he's sending people on behalf. This particular servant. He's humble. He's transparent. He said, I'm not even worthy to come unto you, but if you say the word, and my servant shall be healed. Just banking it on the word of God. That's why we have to get into the word of God. We can't call on the word of God because we don't know the word of God. I've been challenging all of us. I think we started reading the Proverbs daily after our family retreat the last weekend in August. August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. Did I get that right? Is that 9 months? And out of those months, so we've been reading every day the Word of God. That's just part of our reading, just so we have a basis. And if we don't know the word of God, then how can we stand on the word of God? And out of those 9 months, only you know how much you've actually read daily. But if we don't know this word, we can't stand on it. Verse 8, for I am also a man sent under authority. That authority is the word in the Greek is exousia. Power, authority, liberty to do as I please. The centurion saying, look, I'm a man set under authority. I have under me soldiers. I say to one, go. And he goes. I say to another, get over here. And he comes. And to my servant, I say, do this. And he does it. He said, hey, God, I understand authority. I know how this authority. If you're really God, and I believe you are, you don't even have to come to my house to make this happen. If God is really God, when you're saying your prayers, you know that God has the power to answer those prayers, to open those doors, to close those doors, to lead, guide, and direct you. He doesn't even have to be there. He just has to say the word. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wants to. That's the authority that God has. So you can rest on that authority when you know that word. And you don't get upset with people when you don't get the promotion, you don't get the job, or somebody does this or does that, because the king's heart, the person's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Because God is a God of authority. And if we understand it in the natural, we have to understand it in the spiritual and allow God to apply it to our lives. So here we go. Verse 8 again, for I'm also a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. I say one to one, go. He goes. So another come, he comes. My servant, hey man, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and he turned about him and said unto the people that follow him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel, not anywhere. Jesus marveled at, man, is this guy really saying this to me? And I told you, we've been talking about, do we really believe what we hear? Jesus, I've never met anyone who believed in me like this so far. I've never met anyone. He turned around and marveled. He said, well, you guys hear what this dude is saying? Does God marvel at us when we pray or when we just lose hope like that? Is he turning around saying anything? Do you see how she's, do you see how where her heart is, how his heart is, how it believes in everything that my word says? Your faith in Jesus Christ always gets a response from Jesus Christ. Remember, make a note in Mark chapter 6 when Jesus went to his own hometown. And they said, but man, who are you? Aren't you the carpenter's son? Dude, didn't we see you running around in the yard growing up playing? All of a sudden, you this big prophet? And then Jesus said he couldn't do some great works because they didn't believe. He couldn't do it. Said he laid his hand on a few sick folk. But he couldn't do more than that because they didn't believe that he could do what he said he could do. It always comes back to, do we really believe what we read? And I would tell you, I would submit to say that our lifestyle determines, just look at, are you living like you really believe this? And remember, this is the foundation, and only you can lay your foundation. I can't lay your foundation for you. No one else can. This is personal. This is between you and God. All right, let's finish this up and take communion. Verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, so great belief, so great commitment. No, not in Israel. I have not found it. And they that, verse 10, and they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant healthy that had been sick. That's the authority of Jesus. He ain't even got to be there. He didn't have to be there. He just said, he said, I ain't seen nothing like this. Man, it's done. They went back and he was healthy. That's the God we serve. That's the God that split time in half. That's the God that whose body was broken and his blood was shed for us. So as we take communion, remember, this is not Marvel. This is not DC Comics. This is not mythology. This is the true and the living God that split time in half. And so I just challenge us. As we lay in the foundation, here we are March, the first Sunday in March, getting ready to take communion. April. Okay, it's April. All right. I'm just glad y'all paying attention. Is it really April? Gosh. As we're laying the foundation, this is we're a quarter of the way through the new year. Wow. As we continue into the next quarter, what foundation, what are we building it on? Is the word enough or do we need more? Is God enough or do we need more? Pastor Manny, come on up. And Brother Anthony, why don't you guys serve communion this morning? So, family, I just want us to consider, as we take communion, the scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians 11. Go ahead, brothers, you can pass it out. On the night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. Why did God tell us to do it in remembrance of him? As often as you think, do this in remembrance of me. And Natalie, can you put up, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 11. I think it's 24, 23. God has always left his hand, his stamp on creation. Thank you, Natalie. He gave the Jews the Sabbath day, which we still have the Sabbath, but he tells us he's Lord of the Sabbath. We still have the Sabbath day to this day, so we'll never forget that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. That's why it's 7 days in a week. God has left evidence. They practiced the Passover so they can remember when the death angel passed over the houses that were marked with the blood. Jesus took bread and he broke it on the night which he was betrayed. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So that's why we still do it 2016 years later. Because Jesus told us to. So we'll never forget. In the midst of the ups and the downs and the betrayals, the jobs, the marriage, the divorce, the singleness, the success, the failures, the disappointments, we come and put our life in perspective each Sunday and Wednesday. After dealing with the world all week, somebody say amen. Amen. We come here and Jesus said, don't get caught up in all that stuff. Don't build your life on the earth. Build it on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Do this in remembrance of me and never forget what I've done for you. I like to call the first Sunday Perspective Sunday. I like to call every Sunday and Wednesday Perspective Service. It's to be put my life back in perspective of what's really important. And challenge myself as I'm challenging you all. Do I really believe what this word says? No one can lay your foundation but you. It's a personal thing. It's a certain thing. It's either certain people that do this or certain people that do that. You have to determine which one you are. Elevate that which represents his body. Lord, we thank you that you did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. You went to that cross. You were the atonement for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for enduring the cross because of the joy that was set before you. You took the punishment that was due for us. Now death has no victory and no sting. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. Thank you for the eternal life that's in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, you endured the pain, the humility, and the shame for us. Thank you for allowing your body to be broken, so that we could be healed and set free. Go on and eat that which represents his body. Elevate that which represents his blood. So we're reading in Leviticus, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And Lord, we thank you that we don't have to go through the trespass offering and the sin offering and the burnt offering and a wave offering. Thank you that you died once and for all. You were offered up once and for all. Your blood covered all our sins, past, present, and future. You did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. We have to give atonement for our sins. And thank you that it comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the free gift. For by grace are we saved through faith, not of works. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Can't brag about it. Just like the centurion, there's nothing to brag about. God, we're not worthy. But if you say the word, we know you can heal, deliver, and set free. We know that it's finished. We know that it's done. And it's because of this which represents your blood. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. Pass your cups to the center aisle. Thank you, Brother Anthony. Then stand to your feet as we prepare to dismiss. Just grab the person's hand that's next to you or that's close. Lord, let us apply what we've learned, what you spoke to us through your word. Let us live this thing, Lord. Thank you for challenging us not to be business as usual, but to make a commitment to build the foundation on the rock. Thank you for your redemptive work. We could never work to be saved, but because we are saved, we want to live like it. We thank you that it's finished and it's done. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hug somebody and you are dismissed.